All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Michael Tusky on hand as well. We're going to be visiting with head wrestling coach Steve Garland here in a moment or two. In the meantime, Frank, why don't you bring us up to date on the Hokies versus Who's food fight status?
All right, this is the 8th annual competition this year. Food and money, i.e. contributions, will be accepted at all area Martin's stores through this Sunday, February the 26th. Online donations at www.hokiesversuswhos.com will be accepted through midnight next Wednesday, February 29th. So all the contributing will end on February 29th. The winner to be announced at the end of next week, but fans can check on the website for daily score updates. UVA leads the all-time series 4-3, so this is the 8th year. Right now, it's my understanding the Hokies have the lead, but several times during this competition, the Hokies have had the lead going into the final week or two, and the Wahoos have come back to win this thing. All kidding aside, this is a great thing. It provides meal.
There are no losers in this.
That is correct. They've contributed historically 236,000 meals for the hungry in Central Virginia over the 7.5 years of this competition. This is a great thing. It's an excellent food drive. It's not really a food fight. And all you Wahoos and Hokies out there, get out there and either go online and make a contribution or go by Martin's and, you know, donate some canned goods or something.
May I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
If some of the Wahoo Nation wants to make an additional donation to purchase a new clock for Castle Coliseum, is that permitted too?
That's not part of the food fight, but I would think that the athletic director, I think his name is Weaver.
Jim Weaver
down at Virginia Tech. He's probably sweating bullets now because he's getting phone calls about the clock malfunctioning last night so many times.
But, well, it helped him at the end. It allowed him to ice the shooter with Akil Mitchell without having to call a timeout.
Well, yeah, you know, how many timeouts does Uncle Fester get?
Well, no, he gets the same number everybody else does, 5 in a game, you know.
But he got more than 5 last night.
Well, he got a lot of breaks in action. Yeah, the game lasted a little longer than it might have otherwise.
Plus, he may have set a record for the fastest whistle ever on a scramble ball in the lane, getting a timeout when nobody had control of the ball. That was the most blatant bad call I've seen in a long time. Anyway, we're going to talk about wrestling for a few minutes because the UVA wrestling team, I believe, is still ranked 20th in the country. What's most amazing is that really since Sunday, December the 18th, Virginia has won every single dual match they've competed in. They've beaten Duke, North Carolina, Maryland, Rutgers, Old Dominion, George Mason, Appalachian State, NC State,
However,
Drexel.
Isn't that the objective?
Yes.
That is the objective, to win?
Well, it's still unbelievable. Wrestling is such a competitive sport, and Coach Garland has overcome some issues with injuries, too, but most recently, the Wahoo wrestling team dominated number 23 ODU, which has a very good team this year. 31-3 was the final match score. So anyway, we're hoping Coach Garland will call in.
Now, I should know, most of their matches are at Mem Gym, or where do they wrestle?
That's correct.
Okay.
Although last year they did hold the ACC championships in JPJ, and that was a first. But this is very exciting. The ACC championships this year come up on Saturday, March the 3rd, down at Chapel Hill, and they're also being televised on ESPN3. So pretty exciting for wrestling to get a little exposure like that. And if you're down there in the Carolinas, why not go by and visit and watch some great wrestling, because it's not an expensive ticket, and the action is furious. It's almost impossible to sit still and not scream and holler at a wrestling match.
Now, some of the teams that used to be Iowa State, those teams out in the Midwest were pretty good at college wrestling.
Oklahoma, those people are all tough. But, you know, on the East Coast, Virginia has really been climbing, and Steve Garland gets a lot of credit. He's a former UVA wrestler and has really been preaching academics big time. And I know that last year, the year before, the wrestling team led the men's sports in Charlottesville with the best GPA. So take that, Hobbo, you and your basketball buddies.
Speaking of basketball, as we wait to get to Coach Garland here, big game tomorrow night in the ACC, which I will certainly watch and find fascinating as Duke has the return visit to Florida State, you know, after the Seminoles won in Cameron.
Yep.
Big game tomorrow night down there in Tallahassee.
Absolutely. And what else have we got coming up on? Well, besides the Thursday night game, Duke at FSU. Then Saturday, it's VT at Duke, Boston College at Wake, Maryland at Georgia Tech, NC State at Clemson. And, of course, really the big, big one is UNC at Virginia.
I think we do have Coach Garland on the line now, Frank, so go ahead and
Coach, are you there?
I'm there. Sorry, guys, a little late. My daughter had a big boo-boo on the knee. I actually was doing the old Band-Aid trick right as you guys were calling. My apologies.
Well, hopefully you didn't put her in a full Nelson or something. But anyway, we were bragging on you. And looking here at the standings for the Atlantic Coast Conference, it shows Maryland at 4-1. It shows Virginia at 4-1 and Virginia Tech at 4-1. I know you beat Maryland this year. I think I recall that we barely lost to Virginia Tech. North Carolina is at 2-3. NC State is 1-4, and the Dukies are dragging up the rear at 0-5. You got the ACC championships coming up on March the 3rd at Chapel Hill. Give our listeners a little preview of what you can expect from the Wahoos this year at the ACCs.
Okay, yeah, sure. Like you mentioned, we tied for the regular season championship. Our match with our dual meet with Virginia Tech came down to heavyweight. We lost in overtime at that match. So it was a crazy dual meet. It was great. We had almost 2,000 people at the John Paul Jones Arena. So it was a really good match, and we came back and regrouped and haven't lost since. We were 11-1 on the season. We beat Maryland when Maryland was 15-0 and ranked 13th in the country. It was actually the highest ranked opponent in the history of the program we've ever beaten. So it was another big step forward for us. And we feel like that kind of gave us a lot of momentum going in the ACC championship. We're probably going to have 3 or 4 number one seeds at the tournament. So we're excited. We're pumped walking going in the tournament. I think it's a 3-team race. I think I would say that, with humility, that it's right now it's Virginia Tech, us, and Maryland that are all vying for that top spot based on the regular season results. And, last year we felt like we had a chance to win it. We were in first place after a round and a half, almost two rounds, and kind of collapsed in the last round. And we want to make sure we don't make that same mistake. So we're definitely being a little bit more cautious and a little bit more strategic about the way we approach the training and hope that we can peak and not and keep that first place the whole way through and win that tournament like we did in 2010.
Coach, you've strung together an incredible run of victories this season. And when you think about some of the studs that graduated off last year's team, high marks for that. But looking at the rankings, national rankings, you've won all these matches. How come we haven't moved up some?
That's a great question. What's funny is the group that actually ranks, too, that collects the rankings, I'm on the board of that group. It's the NWCA. I'm not really sure. Quite frankly, I'll just say it. I'm pretty ticked about it. We beat the team ranked 13th in the country and only moved up one spot. We've only lost one match, and it was to the team who, at the time, Virginia Tech, they've had injuries since, but at the time they had their full lineup in and they were ranked 15th in the country. They were wrestling great. So it's not like we lost chopped liver, and we've had an amazing result since. And so why we haven't moved up, I couldn't answer. I'll tell you what, though. I think it's really motivated my guys. I think my guys, as much as they probably don't admit it, they follow the rankings. I think they follow the fact that we've been slighted, and they want to make sure that they prove to people that they're as good as they say they are.
Again, you lost some top-notch talent off of last year's squad. Looking at the lineup that you used to crush Old Dominion just a few days ago, you've got Snyder and the Nelsons and Sacco and Jed Moore, who I know he was named ACC Wrestler of the Week not too long ago. Nick Sulzer, I can't pronounce, Vinny Wallhauser.
That's correct, yep.
John Fossey, Ryan Mallow. I know Mallow has been tremendous this year. And your Greek wrestler at heavyweight, he's got the longest name in the history of wrestling.
Derek Path. I'll save you. You can just say Derek Path. Yeah, that's his name.
So how has this team gelled and really put together such an awesome string this year, particularly when you lost so many stars from last year?
Well, each team each year kind of takes on its own identity and kind of sort of figures it out as the year goes on. And after we lost Chris Henrik, 3-time All-American, trust me, we were nervous. And we also redshirted our other All-American, Derek Blenny. So now you've got 2 All-Americans not in the lineup. So at the end of the year, you're thinking, geez, how are these guys going to respond? And I think what happened was the class of Gus Sako and Nick Sulzer and Stephen Doty, guys like that, and John Fossey, these guys are all the same, you know, right around the same time frame, those two recruiting classes in a row. They just said, well, looks like it's our time to step up. And much like Brian O'Connor's done with his kids in baseball and a lot of these other coaches here that I look up to in our department, I feel like each year, because the culture's in place, the young guys just fall right in line. They say, well, I'm going to be the next All-American. And guys like Gus Seiko, who's had an amazing breakthrough year, Jed Moore, who's 20-4, Schneider, Nelson, everybody starts to follow suit. And you know, I think now instead of having one big stud leader like Chris, now I think we've got a whole lineup. I think we've got, you know, out of our 10 starters, I think all 10 of them are great leaders and off the mat and on. And so it's a much more balanced lineup, I would say.
You know, Coach, this is Hobbo. I've told some other Virginia coaches this before. Anytime there's credit to be taken or there's success, the answer is it's always coaching. So, you know, you always say it's the coaching that's made the difference.
Yeah, I'm not too good at that yet. Everybody tells me that. You know, I got to do that more.
How about just pulling your chain?
Yeah, just pulling your chain, Coach. Just before we let you go, we've talked ACC tournament. Just explain for our listeners again how the NCAA tournament works. I know teams, you go as teams, but individuals can also go. Just explain that for us real quick.
Sure. Our qualifying system, I was actually on the NCAA committee that actually helped design the new qualifying system about 5 years ago now. And the way the qualifying system works is you head into the ACC championship, and each weight class is allotted a specific number of national qualifiers per weight based on the current year, based on the results of the current year. So, for example, at 141, it's a phenomenal weight class. You've got five guys in the national rankings, so there's five slots for the national tournament. At 25, for example, there'll only be two guys that automatically qualify. So let's say Matt Steiner's the number one seed. He can go to, if he makes it to the finals, even if he doesn't win it, he automatically qualifies for nationals. However, let's say he has a bad match, he ends up only taking third. He can still go based on his current year data, based on the results he's had during the year and the season he's put together, and it's called an at-large bid. It's called a wild card bid, and that would be decided after the conference tournament. So our goal going in is to get as many guys in nationals to automatically qualify. We want to get all our guys to do the best they can and get those automatic slots so we don't have to worry about going to committee. That's the way it works.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck. I know that you've got, what, about 10 days now to get ready for the ACCs, and then you've got to gear up all over again for the NCAAs. But if anybody can do it, we know Coach Steve Garland will get it done.
Well, thank you guys so much. Thanks so much for having me on. Have a great night.
Absolutely. Take care, Steve.
Thank you, Coach. All right. I guess we were talking a little bit. We still got a few minutes before we got to go to our last break, but we were talking about the Florida State-Duke game tomorrow night, and then, of course, the weekend schedule, which includes Virginia and North Carolina.
No two ways about the game tomorrow night. It is an important game. It'll be very interesting to see how Duke plays this game. I think that I get those Plumleys mixed up. Who's the starter?
Mason.
He's been playing better of late, and I think they're looking for him more. He's got to have a big game, and I think if you look at Rivers, he's got to be looking to maybe penetrate and dish to hit that some of his teammates for the open threes. But
and Duke will certainly be motivated, having lost. We talked to Todd Billett about made threes at the end of the game. Michael Snair of Florida State had the three at the buzzer to beat Duke, and then, of course, he had the three at the buzzer to beat Virginia Tech. So maybe he's got one more in him before the year is over.
Well, somebody better figure out how to guard him.
Well, late in the game, that's
go find the guy. If he hasn't scored but two or three baskets the whole game, that doesn't mean he won't take the big shot.
Yeah, that's true. And then Duke, quick turnaround. They play Thursday night in Tallahassee, and then they play Saturday at noon against Virginia Tech back in Durham, North Carolina.
Well, and that's every now and then the schedule works against the big dogs, and it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. I'm interested. How about UNC at Virginia? What break it down for us, Hobbo?
Well, you know, the thing that really hurt the Cavs down in Chapel Hill was offensive rebounds. North, and if there's one challenge that Virginia has, particularly with Ahsan Sen still out of the lineup, it's rebounding the basketball. And if Virginia's going to have a chance to pull the upset, they're just going to have to limit those second-chance opportunities down in, particularly in the second half in Chapel Hill. North Carolina just dominated the glass.
Box out.
They're big. You know, you got Zeller, you got Henson, certainly Harrison Barnes is a good rebounder, so they're just so big that guys are just really going to have to focus on boxing out and rebound first. And as I've said many times, defense ends when you get the defensive rebound. It's really – frustrating to play good defense for 35 seconds, force them to take a bad shot, and then they get an offensive rebound and get another possession.
Talk about offense now. What do the Hoos have to do to control tempo and get good shots and score a higher percentage in this game?
Well, you know, Mike Scott's going to pretty much be a consistent. It really would be nice. You know, and I think Joe Harris is getting better day to day. You know, they made reference last night in the game that he has not made a three since he broke his hand. Hopefully that'll change on Saturday. Sammy hopefully will continue to play well like he did last night in the second half. Got to give Jontel Evans credit. He has really stepped up in recent games, playing great defense, able to attack the rim and get on the free throw line. So, I mean, everybody's going to have to contribute. You know, we're not going to be able to have one or two guys have good games. The whole team's going to have to play exceptionally well.
I think they need to get Vezinalik in there, just like Jeremy Lin, and have him throw a few buckets in there.
And the other, how about this, the JPJ six-man? I think the crowd, I'm pumped just for the atmosphere. I think it's going to be a full house. People in Charlottesville still get fired up for Carolina, so it's going to be a special afternoon.
Very good. Well, we're going to go to our next break. When we come back, we're going to do the Olympic Sports Report and the LeClaire Ryan Play of the Game. Stay with us.